Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here from Qalam. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, please donate to Qalam by visiting supportqalam.com. We love being able to share this content for free, and your donation ensures that we will always be able to do so. Each podcast we produce has thousands of listeners, so the support you give to this community in this effort brings immense reward. You never know who will benefit from your donation. Assalamu alaikum. To make this a gathering in which we increase our knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the Rasul, and of our deen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a gathering in which our sins are forgiven and our hearts are purified. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to act upon whatever it is that we will be studying here this evening, inshaAllah ta'ala. And we ask Allah to give us sabr on the heat, inshaAllah ta'ala. InshaAllah, because it's kind of warm. Alhamdulillah, Dallas decided to turn to 80 degrees out of nowhere. Like, get your mans. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We open the door, just keep the doors open, inshaAllah. That's all we can really do, tayyib, inshaAllah. Bismillah. Okay, so, alhamdulillah, we're continuing from our class last week, studying Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba rahimullah's qasida and this poem that he wrote. MashaAllah, is beautiful in that the section we're in right now is where Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba rahimahullah is speaking about something called in Arabic radha'il. And the radha'il are the vices of the heart, the external and the inner vices of the heart as well. And so what he talks about and what we spoke about last week is he says in this poem that the scholars have divided the vices up into two categories, zahira wa batina, the external and the internal. And what's very important to understand is that in reality, the batin, the internal vices, are far more have far more harm and cause it a worse effect on us than the external vices. And the reason is because the external vices or sins are just symptoms of a deeper disease that is a batini radha'il that you have, an inner vice that you have inside. So as we spoke last week, we spoke in detail about ghiba, for example, right? We spoke in detail about all of the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ spoke about ghiba, how bad backbiting is, and so on and so forth. And Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba rahimahullah, that was one of the first external vices that he spoke about, was ghiba. Now, ghiba is a horrible sin, of course. But the problem with ghiba is that, which is backbiting, is that it's actually indicative or a symptom of a deeper disease that someone has inside of them, right? And it's either jealousy or it's hatred or it's one of these things that a person has inside that's actually a deeper disease. And until you cure your heart from hasad and until you cure your heart from bughz and ghadab, then you'll never be able to get rid of the symptom, which is backbiting. And so that's what we studied last week. And Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba rahimahullah, where we stopped, we only actually looked at one of the radha'il al-zahiriya. And so we're going to back up a bit and just flow through and read some more of those. And inshallah, what we'll focus on today is he's going to actually start talking about the inner vices, right? The inner vices. Before I start this, I want us to focus on one verse of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. This is a very important verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of judgment, no wealth or no children are going to avail you. Like, all of the things that gave you power and ability in the world will not give you any power or any ability in the hereafter. So then the question is, well, what is it that's going to benefit me on Yawm al-Qiyamah? What is it, that thing that's going to give me naf'a, benefit? And this verse says, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The only one that will have benefit is the one that comes back to Allah with a clean heart, a salim heart. And when we say clean, the question is clean from what? So the first thing Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba teaches us in this poem, along with all the other scholars, is you can't clean the heart from the radha'il if you don't even know what they are first. And so the first thing that we have to actually do is study what they are, and then we have to study how to clean the heart from those things. Listen, once your heart is straight, fajr is easy, yo. Once your heart is clean, lowering your gaze is a piece of cake. But if you're sitting here trying to just lower your gaze, trying to wake up for tahajjud, and you haven't focused on the heart, then you're going to be struggling for a very long time. Because the problem is at the root, not the fruit. I like that. That was good. That's pretty good. I like that. The problem, no, for real though, seriously speaking, the problem is not the fruit of the tree. The problem comes from what you're feeding and what's the source of it. And that's the heart. Once the heart is clean and once the heart is solid, then Qiyam al-Layl is easy. Lowering the gaze is easy. All of these things become easy because those are symptoms of a pure, clean, or a dirty heart. Right? And so let's look at a few of the external vices that he speaks about. And here's what I want you to do as you read these. Like, when the believer hears these things and you hear something that hits you, then you need to realize that this is a symptom of a deeper disease inside of you, and it's something that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify you from. Tayyib. So let's begin, inshallah. He says, فَوَاجِبٌ عَلَى مُكَلَّفٍ أَقَلْ الْكَفُ عَنْهَا خَوْفَ رَبِّ النَّاسِ جَلْ. He says, it's wajib upon every person, compulsory upon every person who has intellect and who is responsible before Allah, al-kafu anha, to refrain from these external vices that he's going to speak about now, out of fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can I have a napkin? Just keep at me. Yeah, that's perfect. We good. And then he says, كَغِيبَةٍ نَمِيمَةٍ وَكِذِبٍ وَحَانِثِ الْيَمِينِ وَتَعَسُّبِ. He says, for example, backbiting. And we spoke about that in detail. Then he says, number two, namima. Namima is a category of backbiting, but it's a different type of backbiting. So it's someone who does a lot of he said, she said stuff. So you go to one group and you're like, girl, you know what? Yo, Fatima just said this about you. You know what I mean? And then you go to Fatima, you be like, yo, Amina was just saying this. And then you even cross the barrier, you're like, yo, Fatima, Ahmed said this. And now you're really causing trouble in the community. So namima and namam is someone who naql al kalam. Here's the Arabic definition: naql al kalam ala wajh al fasad. To take kalam, speech of people, and pass it on only with the intention of causing fitna between people. And this is a major sin. And you know that person that just drops something like just says something just to see sparks fly. Right? Very dangerous sin in the community, right? And in the family. And so that's a major sin, namam, and it's something to be careful of. And Imam Ghazali says there's like five or six things you should do when somebody comes to you with namima. So if somebody comes up to you and is like, yo, Isa, you heard what Mikael just said about you, yo? Or said about such and such, or said, the first thing Imam Ghazali said is never believe the person, first thing first. First thing first, never believe the person. Why? Because the person is breaking the rules of Allah. They're a fasiq right away. And the Quran says, إِذَا جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. When a transgressor comes to you with some news, look into it first. Don't believe it. So Imam Ghazali says the first thing you should do when somebody comes and like, yo, I heard such and such saying this, the first thing you do is don't believe it. That's what Ghazali says, number one. Number two, then he said stop the person. He's like, remind the person, like, yo, chill out. Yo, what are you doing? You're causing fitna. What are you doing? Stop. That, like, chill out. Number three, he said, this is the hard part. He said, don't investigate after. Because you can stop them and be like, yo, call it, chill. And then later you'd be like, yo. And you try to find out more. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. So he's like, don't go deeper. And then what did he say? He said, oh, this is a little harder. Imam Ghazali, he said, this may be harder for us to swallow, but he's like, hate the person for the sin that they're doing. Meaning, we talked about this before, which is we hate the sin. And so the person that's doing that, you should have some bughz lillah for the sake of Allah, some anger that why are you doing this? And if you really think about what it does to families, what it does to communities, it's really destructive. Really, really destructive. And so if you have that problem, you really got to check yourself, because that's a symptom of a deeper problem inside of you. Maybe some jealousy, maybe some anger, maybe something inside. But that's namima. Then he says, wa kithib, and lying. We spoke about that in detail. وَحَانِثِ الْيَمِينِ. حَانِثِ الْيَمِينِ in some cultures is big. حَانِثِ الْيَمِينِ is to break an oath like a wallahi. So some cultures, some of y'all in this room too, y'all say wallahi like real easy. I ain't looking at nobody. I'm going to look down for a moment. But some people, they be like, wallahi, 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 wallahi. Like, dang, man, you got to chill with the wallahis, man. Because that's a big thing, you know what I mean? I'm trying to look over people. Like, so the next major sin is hanith al-yameen, breaking an oath that you made for Allah. Wa ta'assubin. Subhanallah. Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba is big on this. Remember when we started the book, and Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba, he said, don't let the color of my skin stop you from taking knowledge from me. Remember he said that? Right now he's talking about something called ta'assub. And ta'assub is asabiyya, or this deep nationalism and tribalism that we have. You know what I'm saying? My people. And subhanAllah, it's funny because in the Muslim community, like, even if you have all of one country, they still got tribes, man. You know what I mean? My Somali brother right there, right? Like, so when other people are around, y'all good together. But when y'all by yourself, you're like, nah, you from the north, I'm from the south, man, back up. So ta'asub is a dangerous sin. And the Prophet ﷺ, let me make this relevant. One time the Prophet ﷺ, he was with the Aus and Khazra, he was with the Ansar. And the Ansar were actually, in Medina, they were actually two separate tribes. As we know from the Sira, they were at war with each other for a long time. But every now and then, they would slip up and start like a bit of like, you know, like, that's our guy. And the Prophet ﷺ, it happened once in his presence, and he was like, stop, this is jahiliyyah, no, none of this, which is my people, your people, this and that, right? And so he's warning us from ta'asub, and it's really bad in our communities. We have whole masjids that's just like one race, man, like where other people, other races don't even feel welcome in that masjid. And that's a really bad sign of the community, that we haven't been able to create that innama al-mu'minuna ikhwatun feeling, whereas it's just one type of people in a masjid. And so Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba rahimahullah is warning us from ta'asub, right? He says, wazuri wal fahsha, and protect yourself from false speech, wal fahsha, and indecencies, wa ma la ya'ni. Now ma la ya'ni is considered a whole category of a genre. Ma la ya'ni means that which doesn't concern you. So let's back up. There's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, beautiful hadith, من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعني. A beautiful thing of your religion is for you to leave things that don't concern you. To leave things that don't concern you. This is a heavy hadith, because what it does is it teaches us to prioritize on things that truly matter and affect our lives and the loved ones around us. You know what I'm saying? And so a lot of us, we have our minds in everything. But the Prophet ﷺ is saying, no, focus on the things that concern you, not what concerns the whole ummah, things that you don't necessarily have control over. And so he says, ma la ya'ni, avoid a lot of ma la ya'ni. Try to focus in the things that concern you. Min qawlin aw fi'lin, whether it be speech or actions. Wa ma la yughni, he jumps to another category, and he says, and also refrain from ma la yughni, that which doesn't benefit you. So yughni means like, sometimes we're just involved in something that it's not benefiting my dunya and it's not benefiting my akhirah. So that's ma la yughni. You should always be engaged in something that's either bettering your relationship with Allah or bettering your dunya, we state, because that is also a responsibility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what does he say next? He says, with all of these things, wal katbi was sama'i wa istimlali, وَدَمِّي مِثْلِ مُسْلِمٍ أَوْ مَالِهِ. He says, remember that writing any of these things is just like speaking them. So one of the things now, and I'm sure they could have never imagined the amount of speech we have just through typing and writing, but the rule to remember is whatever is haram to speak is haram to type too. Right? And so if you're, and this is the thing, like in the comments section, man, people get like crazy, man. But like the way we speak in social media, you have to remember that the same rules apply for your tongue as the rules that apply for your social media usage, right? And so whatever is haram or not allowed to speak, you have to apply those same things to the way you condone yourself and act on social media as well. And then he moves forward. He says, similarly, protect the honor and the blood of another Muslim and the wealth of another Muslim as well. أَوْ مِثْلِهِ كَذَلِكَ هِجْرَانٌ لَهُ. Be careful of leaving a Muslim. So the Prophet ﷺ in a hadith said, we're not supposed to leave a Muslim. What does that mean? Fawqa thalatha. The Prophet ﷺ said, more than 3 days, you should never turn your back on another Muslim. Now, that's a tough one because there's some people who I just don't click with. You know what I'm saying? Like the person, like, I can't be around this person. They're not good for me, right? So everyone asks me, they're like, oh, so I got to call that dude every 3 days? It's like, nah. What this means is there are some people who you stop talking to. You're like, yo, I ain't talking to you no more. Click. And you hang up. That person, within 3 days, you have to reach out to them. And be like, yo, samihni, I forgive you. Ma'assalam. But I don't got to call you every day. Do you understand? That bond has to be rebuilt. Fahimt? Yeah. Quick. Yeah.
And they say, okay, what if this person...
Exactly, exactly. So I'll get to that. So the question is, like, in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, mashallah, my brother here who does not like to be named, he dropped a good example in the life of the Prophet ﷺ where there was a case where the Prophet ﷺ stopped speaking to 3 Sahaba for more than 40 days. Right? Ka'b bin Malik, subhanAllah, it's 3 Sahaba. Hilal bin Umayyah, and one more. Samihni. They'll come, inshallah. Tayyib. So the Prophet, it's like, wait, the Prophet broke his own rule, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Na'udhu billah. If there is a deeny reason, if there is a deeny reason for the sake of Allah, that you are doing this for a reason. Like, say, for example, you tell a close friend who's really close to you, yo, as long as you're in that sin, I'm not talking to you no more. With the intention that I'm really trying to rectify her, yo. I know she loves me and I know she wants me to talk to her. So I'm saying this to her so that she changes. If you have a real good, like proper deeny reason and it's not your own nafs. See, one is you backbit me, you spoke about me wrong, so I'm not talking to you no more. The way our family is, oh, you didn't come to our wedding or you didn't do this, da 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 da. All these really trifling things like that are personal and we say we don't talk to no one no more. That's not allowed. What's allowed is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person refrains from talking for the intention of rectifying the character of that person. Yeah.
It's up to them for them to...
Yeah, I got you. The question is, isn't that someone backbit me and now backbiting is haram? So I'm not talking to you because you did haram, not because you backbit me. Right? Nah. You got to make sure that your intention is not for your own nafs, but because of the sin itself. That's all. You just got to make sure your intention is for that reason. Okay. Tayyib. So he says, hijranun lahu. Avoid that. Be careful. These are external sins we want to avoid. He says, li ghayri haqqi shar'i. Sheikh Ahmad Ubamba, rahimahullah, is ahead of you. Right? He says, kathalika hijranun lahu li ghayri haqqi shar'i. Fahdhar kullahu. Similarly, leaving a Muslim completely. Bi ghayri haqqi shar'i. Without any reason from the Sharia, fahdhar kulla. Stay away from all of that completely. Wa ihtiqarihi, and avoid looking down at any Muslim. Honor a Muslim, lift him up, look high. Regardless of the religious level, what we end up doing is, in the Muslim community, if someone has a seemingly outwardly higher religiosity, oh, we esteem them. And someone has an inner, outwardly seemingly lower religiosity, we're like, oh, we don't look as high. How do you know the connection with this person behind closed doors? How do you know how much this person cries at night to Allah? How do you know the relationship? So any Muslim, he says, ihtiqadihi, Sheikh Ahmad Duban, rahimahullah, he says, avoid looking down upon any Muslim. Kal mudahanati wal khiyanati. He says, avoid mudahana wal khiyana. All right. This is a new word, and I'm pretty sure most of us have never studied this concept before. The word is mudahana in Arabic. Mudahana. Now, the word duhun in Arabic means oil. Mudahana is someone. Listen closely. You ever met someone who will tell you everything you want to hear because they're actually just trying to get something out of you? Sister's like, yeah. As I said that, I was kind of like, oh, dang, right? Like, yeah, how'd you know? Mudahana, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. I know y'all saw that tweet, man. Somebody was like, saw that? Subhanallah, that was hilarious, man. if you didn't see it, so the name of my book is With the Heart in Mind. It's about emotional intelligence, right? And it teaches you how to connect to people emotionally. So one of the comedian Twitter dudes, he's like, yo, Muslim dudes be reading with your heart in mind and breaking Muslim girls' hearts. I was like, astaghfirullah, dude, astaghfirullah. Allah protect us. Khair. Listen, so mudahana, listen, this is very important because mudahana is a major sin. Mudahana is this. Check it. Me and Khalid are mad. I know Khalid, right? Now, I'm just using an example. Khalid is stuck in a sin, right? Now, every time I meet him, you know, he smokes, he drinks or whatever. I don't bring it up. I don't say, yo, Khalid, what are you doing, man? I overlook it. You know, I get in his car. I see the cigarettes there. I see the thing there. I overlook it. Now, I'm overlooking it for what reason, though? Not husnadun. Because through my relationship with him, I'm going to make him better. So the reason I'm literally not mentioning it to him is because I want to help him. Right? This is good. This is beautiful. The Prophet ﷺ did this with many people. Mudahana is different. Mudahana is when I'm overlooking what he does wrong. I'm being nice to him. I'm buttering him up so I can get more dunya. So I can get more of what I want. Not to make that person better, but for my own betterment and my own selfish, greedy needs that I have. This is called mudahana in the Sharia, and it's a major kabair, it's a major sin. Right? And so, again, if I see someone involved in a sin, a major sin, and I'm working with them, I'm like, yo, this is my man. I'm going to work on them. Don't worry. And I'm overlooking sins. I'm not doing it because of a personal reason. I'm doing that for, and this is where you got to check yourself, I'm doing that for the sake of Allah. I'm trying to make this person better. But now check yourself real time. There are some people who you do mudahana of just because. I'm not even trying to change you. I'm just overlooking your faults because you bring me some public clout or some public benefit or whatever it may be. Does everyone understand? This is a tough one to understand. It's a very delicate issue because you see someone doing wrong and you're like, well, why aren't you correcting that wrong? You could be overlooking it for a personal reason, or you could be overlooking it to make that person a better Muslim and help them in the long run. Question.
So basically just like a yes man.
Like a yes man, literally. Literally like a yes man, exactly. And the word mudahana is so interesting because we have the concept butter them up. You know, we have that concept, right? And duhan means oil. So it's the same concept in Arabic. Yes, Adam.
What if that person is telling you that they're changing, like they're trying, and you know they're not?
I mean,
at the same time, you can't say like, oh, I know you're not because you can't get my attention, right?
I don't know. That's a personal. We got to, each situation deal differently. Wallahu alam. Tayyib. So what does he say? He says here that similarly, mudahana and khiyana, treachery, we have to avoid these things. Next section. Now, Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, after mentioning some of the external, now he's going to the deep stuff, to the inner, bawatin, the inner rava'id that are very important for us to focus on. He says, faslun fil bawatin. Amma rava'ilu allati qad batanat. As for the inner vices that are hidden inside. Fahya uyub an-nafsi haythu wujidat. These are the aib or the faults of the self wherever you find them. These are faults inside of you. يُخْشَى عَلَى مَنْ فِيهِ كَانَتْ جَاثِمًا وَلَمْ يَتُبْ لِلَّهِ سُوءَ الْخَاتِمَةِ. He says, it is feared for the one within whom these lie in benign. It is feared if they don't do tawbah, a bad ending. Okay. If you have some sickness inside of you, and you don't catch the external symptoms, then the harm is that that sickness grows and grows and grows until you walk into the doctor's office one day and the doctor's like, yo, if you came 4 months ago, I could have helped you, but now it's too late. Right? What he says here is, yuksha ala man fihi kana jathima. It is feared upon the person within whom these vices lie benign, that they will have a bad ending if they don't do tawbah from Allah. What is he highlighting here? Look, the sins that we do are actually symptoms of inner sicknesses, guys. And so when you find yourself, this is all for our personal, we're not judging nobody. When you find yourself slipping up on a sin, you gotta go to someone, get a checkup, and be like, I have a bad cough. What is this bad cough? Like, oh, it's just a cold, you'll be fine. And they're like, no, you got bronchitis. No, for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, you, once you got that bad cough, you got to go to someone to find out what it is and not Google. Don't go to Google. Everyone goes to Google for medical problems and you think you're dying, yo. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then you go to the doctor with your Google diagnosis too, but whatever. So similarly, when it comes to the sins, you don't go to Google to figure out what that's indicative of spiritually. You go to a scholar, a doctor of that, for that cure. So he says, does everyone understand that point about it being benign inside? It's very important to understand. So, a'adhana ar-Rahmanu min hafiz zaman. He says, and say ameen, he says, may Allah protect us from these sins. Wa sharri shaytani wa kulli dhi fitan. Get her a chair, please. Please, yeah. Help. Wala, help. Bismillah. Rahman. He says, may our Rahman protect us from these for our entire lives. وَشَرِّ الشَّيْطَانِ كُلِّ ذِي فِتَنٍ, and from the evil of Shaitan, Satan, and every fitan, every hardship, every trial. Now listen to this. وَحْيَا أَقَارِبٌ مَعَ الْحَيَاتِ. He says these vices are aqarib. What are aqarib? Scorpions. وَحَيَّات, snakes. مُنْقَلِبَاتٍ عَقِبَ الْمَمَاتِ, which become those things بَعْدِ الْمَمَاتِ. What he's talking about is this. In the grave, those very same vices that you kept inside are now anthropomorphized into something. So that sharp tongue you had that was biting everyone else in the grave is a scorpion biting you. Because it was biting everyone else. So since it was biting everyone it walked past, look at him, look at him, look at her, look at this. Because that tongue was biting everyone else, what he's trying to say is, the reality of that now, when you enter into the grave, comes out into what it really is. You with me? So what does he say? He says, وَحْيَا أَقَارِبٌ مَعَ الْحَيَاتِ حَيَّاتِ أَخْوَانَ مُنْقَلِبَاتٍ عَقِبَ الْمَمَاتِ. He's like, these vices in your heart, yo, don't keep those inside. You know what Imam Ghazali says? He's like, subhanAllah, if somebody was to see like a spider on you, and I was like, yo, watch out, there's a spider, you'd be happy, right? You'd be like, yo, good looks. And if I was just to leave it there, like, yo, watch what's about to happen. You'd be like, yo, why you play me like that? He said, similarly, the one who calls out your vices, like the one who sits there and says, yo, you got hasad, yo. You jealous, man. You got issues, man. Like spiritual issues, right? The one who calls you out is like the one letting you know about those dangerous things that are right there. So Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, rahimahullah, he says, wahya aqaribun. These vices in your heart are scorpions and snakes. مُنْقَلِبَاتٍ عَقِبَ الْمَمَاتِ. They become that after death. وَحْيَا مِنْ ظَاهِرَةٍ كَانَتْ أَشَدْ. He says, and these are far more severe than the external sins. So what are we saying? This is very important. The anger, the jealousy, the greed, the nafs, all of those things are far worse than any of the external sins. Far worse. Again, check your heart. He says, كانت أشد لكونها تلائم النفس أبد. He says, you know why they're worse? Like, if someone steals, they only steal for a portion of time. Like, that little portion of time they stole was like, what, 3 minutes, a minute? I don't know how long it took. But the person who has hasad is walking around the whole day with hasad inside of them. So it's because that sin, which is a sin, hasad, is with you the whole time. You just strolling around the campus, like with that whole bag of sin just hanging on you. And so he says the reason why the internal are far worse than the external is because they accompany you the whole time you're walking around throughout your day. Allah protect us. Okay, كَمَ اجْتِبَابُ نَحْيُ كَانَ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ اِكْتِبَاسِ الْأَمْرِ فِي مَا نُقِلَ. He says similarly, the hadith tell us that it's more virtuous for you to just avoid haram than to do a lot of good. He's trying to highlight that it's far more important for you to just clean your nafs and clean your heart than for you to be focusing on doing a lot more good. We'll talk about that in a bit. وَحْيَا وَإِنْ كَانَتْ كَثِيرَةً. He says, وَحْيَا وَإِنْ كَانَتْ كَثِيرَةً إِلَى ثَلَاثَةِ أَنْوَاءِ تُرْجِعُ أُقِلَى. He's like, although there are many diseases of the heart, there are many vices of the heart, he says it actually all goes back to three. There's actually just three that they all go back to. Three that they all go back to. وَحْيَا أَنَّ نَفْسَنَا مَجْبُولَةٌ عَلَىٰ إِبَاءِ طَاعَةٍ مَقْبُولَةٍ. He says, and it's all about the fact that our nafs is naturally made in a way where it doesn't like to obey. So is my son, so Qasim's not here. So like, you ever notice like in a little kid, like you'll tell them like, don't eat the cookie, right? And the first thing they do is, right? If I told everyone right now, like, don't look back behind you. Yeah, they was ready for that though. The point is, what he says is the nafs, just like Qasim, right? He's not here. Like, it naturally kind of wants to disobey. It naturally has that thing inside to not listen. You know what I'm saying? And so the reason I'm bringing that up is because Sheikh Ahmadu Bamba says, you have to understand that the nafs, majbula, he says majbula, it's designed in a way, ala iba'a ta'atin. It likes to just disobey. It likes to just say no, right? Maqbula. And this is psychologically, like, subhanAllah, there are so many studies that prove when you put something like you have to, it's people are less likely to do it than you can. You know what I'm saying? Like, multiple studies I've read in a recent book by Dr. Jonathan Haidt called the Righteous Mind. It's one of my favorite books right now. And he talks about how just changing a survey slightly, like you have to do this versus you can, completely changes because we don't like to do what we're told to do. We don't like to do what we're told to do naturally. And that's what he's highlighting is the core thing. لِحُبِّ رَاحَةٍ. Because the nafs loves ease, raha. It loves raha. What is raha? Ease, like relax. It loves to relax. وَذَا يُكَدِّرُ شَأْنَ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ فِي مَا أَخْبَرُ. He's like, it loves to relax. And what Imam Muhasibi, he says, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَنَالُ مَا تُرِيدْ إِلَّا بِتَرْكِ مَا تَشْتَهِ. This is very deep. This is going to apply to everything. Financial, like physical, spiritual. إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَنَالُ مَا تُرِيدْ. You will never get what you want, illa bi tarki ma tashtahi, except by giving up what you desire. You want to stack up dough, right? Well, you can't buy every iPhone that comes out. You want to stack up money. You can't. You gotta like count. You gotta cut back. You want to lose weight. You want to get in shape. What do you gotta do? You can't eat that extra kebab house. Yo, Arlington is yo, kebab house. Right? You gotta watch that. So he says, "Innaka lan tanalu ma turid." You can never get what you turid, irada, what you desire, what you want, illa bi tarki ma tashtahi, except by giving up what you covet. You could say, tashtahi shahwa. And so that's what he's highlighting here. He's like, the case of the nafs is that it loves raha, and that's what's going to hold you back. Thumma idha, okay, let's move forward. He says, thumma idha ma kasabat wa amilat shabatu bil afati hatta afsadat. He's like, listen, the other problem with the nafs is this: after you're able to do good actions and after you're able to do righteous actions, the nafs then has this tendency to mix in with the action things that throw off the action. What does he mean? You were able to wake up for Salatul Fajr. You were able to pray all of your Salah. But then now, the nafs brought in another thing that messed up that Salah. Which is, for example, ujub, conceit. Or riyah, showing off. So you got to the action, but the nafs naturally now, what did it do? After the action was achieved, it mixed in with it things that will destroy the action. And this is all based on those radha'il. Ma'i, antum, inshaAllah. So let's go forward. Look what he says. Wakana, where was I? I'm sorry. So now he's mentioning some of them. Here we go. He's mentioning some of them. The first one. Wakana da yukadir tawhida. The first one is the one, the radha'il, that will mess up your tawhid. What is tawhid? our understanding of the oneness of Allah. So he says, وَكَانَ ذَا يُقَدِّرُ التَّوْحِيدَ لِأَنَّهُ شِرْكٌ فَكُنْ رَشِيدًا. Obviously, we understand this as Muslims that believe in the oneness of Allah. The thing that will throw off your tawheed is shirk. But I don't think we actually understand what does it mean for something to be ilah. In seminary, we were recently studying the verse, أَفْرَأَيْتَ مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. And in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, have you ever seen the one who has made their hawa, their desire, their God? And what the Mufassirin explain is that your ilah is the thing that you obey. Your ilah is the thing that you constantly obey. And so if you have a nafs that whenever it says open the fridge and eat, you listen to it. If you have a nafs that says whenever it wants to look at something, it looks at something. If you have a nafs that whenever it asks for something, you obey it, you got to check yourself on this ayah. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَىٰ. Why am I saying that? Because ilah is what you're obeying. And so what we need to check ourselves is it my nafs that I obey? We grew up in literally listening to just do it. Like that was literally since, I can't remember not hearing, seeing the Jordan commercials, right? Y'all don't remember that. That was early 80s, man, late 80s. Like, just do it. Like, just do it over and over. It's like, should I do that or not? Yeah, just do it. I have the feeling to do it, just do it. So the problem is that tawheed, we're like, yeah, Allah is my Allah, I'm good. But we don't go deeper and look at the fact that أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنْ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَىٰ. The thing that you obey is what becomes your ilah. And we want to always keep that as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not our nafs. So the first thing that messes up our actions is shirk. This is the first radha'il. This is the biggest radha'il. Next one. What is Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba doing, rahimahullah? He's mentioning the radha'il and he's starting from the worst. He started with shirk. Number two, he says, ثُمَّ إِذَا سَلِمَ مِنْهَا عَظَّمَتْ لَهُ فَيُعْجِبُ بِهِ فَحَبِطَتْ. He says, then if you pass back beyond this shirk, the next radha'il that sneaks in is ujub. Ujub in Arabic is conceit or vanity. So what happens next is, we spoke about this before, what happens next is you did the action, but now you start to feel good about yourself. I did the action, instead of attributing that action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now you mess up the action there because you're like, look at how good I am. You feel me? Look at how good I am. I'm so amazing. Yo, you couldn't have did that without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tawfiq. So the first thing was shirk, the second thing was ujub. Number three. وَلَيْسَ تَحْتَوِي الْوُسُولِ بِغَيْرِ قَطْعِ الْعَقَبَاتِ يَا نَبِيلِ. He says, you'll never ever reach to Allah, guys, until you're able to pass these major hurdles that will come on your way. فَإِشْتِغَالُ بِدَوَائِهَا أَبَدْ. So spend your time trying to clean these out of your heart. Dawa. Dawa means curing them. Spend your time, like being in this gathering. He says, مِنْ بَعْدِ مَعْرِفَتِهَا. After you come here and learn what they are. بَعْدَ مَعْرِفَتِهَا. After learning what they are. فَرْدًا يَعُدْ. This is a fard you have to do. What is he saying? So spend your time fixing your heart. What does that mean? You need to spend time in the morning and the evening looking inside of yourself, saying, what's going on in my heart? Right? And then he says, you spend your other time learning about the sicknesses of the heart so you know what to cure. But he's going to give us some practical stuff too to help us cure it. He says, وَهْيَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ مَا عَبْدٌ بِهِ رَامَ اِقْتِرَابُ رَبِّهِ فَانْتَبِهِ. Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba, rahimahullah, he says, this is one of the greatest things that a slave can get closeness to Allah through. Which is what? Knowing the faults of yourself and working on cleaning those faults. That's the greatest thing you could do to get close to Allah. فَانْتَبِهِ. He says, take note of this, Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba. He says, wake up, be aware of this. وَاسْتَنْفِدًا إِرْفَانَهَا يَا صَاحِي بِصُحْبَةِ. Now he gives us four ways in which you're going to become aware of the faults inside of you. Hey, everyone is like, all right, bro, I know, I want to fix myself. Like, so how do I do that now? Sheikh Ahmad Dubamba right now is going to give you four ways where you become aware of the faults inside of yourself. Should we do a next class? No. All right, cool. All right. فَاسْتَنْفِدْ إِرْفَانَهَا. Exert yourself to know these faults. Ya sahi. Ya sahibi. Ya sahi. Oh, my boy, my man. بصحبة المشايخ. Number one. Number one. صحبة المشايخ نصاحي. Sit with the scholars and the people of Nasiha. Sit with the people of Nasiha. Number one. Imam Ghazali says this is the first way. Find a scholar. Imam Ghazali actually, when he explains it, he says, find a scholar who is Suduq, Nusuh, and a true scholar that can help you know these things. But you know what Imam Ghazali says? وَهُوَ قَلِيلٌ فِي زَمَانِنَا. Imam Ghazali, he says, but this is rare in our time. Like, what? My man's living in the golden age, yo. If it's rare in your time, what do we got, right? So he says, and subhanAllah, man, we have one thing that's crazy. People in Dallas, in the area of Dallas, don't realize the number of mashayikh that you have. Like, seriously, man. Like, subhanAllah, if you just start from Richardson and just come down, like, you're blessed, man. You're blessed with multiple places with proper scholarship that people around the country are like, you know what I'm saying? So you really, really got to take heed and understand that Allah has blessed you to live in a city, be born in a place, or live in a place. Everyone's not born here. Most people, transplants, right? Live in a place where there's so much access. Now, number one is a sheikh, right? Now, Imam Ghazali's like, yo, that's hard to get. I can't find no sheikhs. Ain't no sheikhs near me. I don't got time to spend with no sheikhs. Like, what do I do next? أو بمصاحبة الأصدقاء. Imam Ghazali says, and Sheikh Ahmed Dubamba says, number two, you have very good friends who will make you aware of the faults inside of you. Very good friends who have the same objective as you, right? And will make you aware of the faults inside of you. Now, y'all know this ain't every person. Because not every dude I know can tell me, yo, Shay, you got kibber. I'm like, yo, man, yo, I don't even know you like that. You know, there's a few people, like, you know, who can call me, like, yo, you tripping, man. I heard your lecture, man. You think you all big and stuff. I'm like, yeah, man, stuff for Allah, yo. There's a few people we all, so Imam Ghazali says, if you can't find a Sheikh Saleh, then what do you find next? Asdiqai, that will help you find out your aibs, your faults. And y'all realize it's not everyone. You can't do this with everybody. So it's like you and a few people got to have that special relationship where it's like, yo, you see me slipping, like I haven't read Quran in a while, or I haven't did this in a while, or you just see my character messed up, yo, let me know, man. And whatever you say, and here's the pact that you got to make. Whatever you say, I'm going to believe. Whatever I say, you got to believe. I'm not going to question it. Exactly. You want someone that's going to, like, be with you and tell you exactly what's inside of you, I'm going to tell you what's inside of you. Mai, y'all with me? Y'all already like, nah, I'm good. I don't want nobody telling me about me. But if you don't have someone that's giving you that advice, how are you going to be aware? Okay, next one then. Third. Here's your third way. Y'all ready? I will a'da'i. Enemies. Imam Ghazali says, okay, no sheikh, no friends. Use your enemies. Because guess what? Your enemy going to call you out for real, for real. No, think about this. If your goal is to find out what's wrong with you, and to better that, our goal, I need to be aware of the aib inside of me. So I go to a doctor, I don't have a doctor. I go to my friends, okay, I don't have any friends that I trust like that. Okay, you know what? I'm going to look for my enemies, my haters. And whenever they hate on me, I'm going to listen. Okay, tell me more. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Thank you. I'm going to work on that now. And they're going to get angry too. They're going to get angry. That's number three. Now, you're like, nah, I can't do that either. All right, Ghazali gives you the last. If this don't work for you, I don't know. If this doesn't work, I don't know anymore. He says, Awil mukhalatati. You mix with people and you study people and see the faults in people And whatever fault you see in someone else, assume it's in you and work to get it out. Everyone's like, I could do that. I'm good at seeing faults in people. SubhanAllah. That just shows where we at, yo. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So let me explain that one. Like, I am dealing with people all day. And I see someone, like, with a lot of hasid. Like, SubhanAllah, the way Allah created insan, I can see any fault on this person, but I can't see my own faults. I need someone to tell me, yo, you got something right here, bro. Because I can't see it. We need each other. So naturally, we see things in others. So here's the deal. You don't want no one telling you? You look around. Whenever you see something on someone, you like, why? Because I saw that on you. Maybe I got it on me too. So this is the fourth way, and it seems like everyone likes this one the best. It's the least intrusive way. So, to be real, I think, to be honest with you guys, I think all of these have to be used. Right? You do need someone knowledgeable who you trust, who can tell you when you're doing wrong. There's a lot of us in this room right now where there's no one in this world that can tell you you're wrong. You know what I mean by that? Like, I have a few brothers and a teacher that whatever they say about me, I'm accepting. And some of us in this room is like, no, there's no one in this world that can tell me until I realize I'm wrong myself. And that's kind of dangerous. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of dangerous. And even the shuyukh that I know all have shuyukh that can tell them, yo, that's wrong what you just did right there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you don't have that, then at least the next level. I also have a few friends, really, really tight friends that know me back from the day. They're like, yo, we remember you couldn't read Inna Atayna Kal Kawthar, dude. Like, literally, I'm not even joking. Like, I taught you that surah. So no matter what, you can never be all like shaky in front of them. Shaky, you know what I mean? Shaky? Okay. They always like, yo, I taught you that, dude. So with those people, they're always like, yo, how's your intention, yo? You good? I'm like, I don't know. So on and so forth. My point is you need someone that can make you aware of your faults. If you're not aware, how are you going to start to fix them inside of you? And you can't see them by yourself. You need someone to point them out to you. Right? And so four ways. What are they? Let's repeat them, yo. You have a sheikh, a scholar, someone, right? You have a sheikh, a scholar, someone, and even an elder. Like, when we say sheikh, like, sometimes it's just the elder, like, of the community, like the auntie elder of the community, right? If that's who you connect to, from Sunday school teacher, I don't know, right? Number two was friends. Not all of them, just like two or three of them that you're really tight with, right? But they have to have the same intention as you. Number three, enemies, yo. Can't do that one. Number four, you watch people, and whatever you see in other people, you assume right away. Assume right away that's in me too. Al mu'minu mir'atul mu'min. The believer is the mirror of the believer. Whatever you see in somebody else, you best believe it's probably in you too in some other form. Right? You just do it in a different way. All right, Tayyib, let's go forward. Okay. Just a little bit more, inshallah. This is beautiful, mashallah. ثُمَّ الدَّوَاءُ جُمْلَةً هُوَ الرُّجُوءُ. Now, here's the cure. That's how you become aware, right? That was just to make yourself aware of the disease, correct? Now look what he says next. ثُمَّ الدَّوَاءُ, as for the cure. هُوَ الرُّجُوءُ إِلَىٰ إِلَىٰهَنَا تَعَالَ بِالْخُشُوءِ. The very first cure is رُجُوءُ إِلَىٰ اللَّهِ. This is very serious. What that means is, when your friend, enemy, or whatever makes you aware that you are a person that has a lot of jealousy inside of you or anger inside of you, the very first step is ruju ila Allah. You humble yourself and you go, Ya Allah, middle of the night, no one sees you. Ya Allah, I have this sickness in me. Just as if you were really sick. If you found out you had some disease, yo, the dua you're going to be making is for real. Similarly, that spiritual disease is serious. They can be terminal to your faith. The Rasul ﷺ said, Al-Hasid ya'kulu al-hasanat. What is it? Al-Haliq. What is the hadith? No. Al-Haliq. Wala akulu yahliku al-sha'ar. Walakin yahliku al-deen. The Rasul ﷺ said, like, Al-Hasid, jealousy, for example, is Haliq. It shaves off. And then Rasul's like, he's like, لا كله يحلق الشعر. It's not shaving hair. It takes away your religion. So what I'm trying to get you to understand, if you woke up tomorrow and the doctor called and said, we did your test and you have a terminal disease, we need to get you on treatment, the dua you're going to be making is serious. What I want you to understand is, as Muslims, we have spiritual diseases that can be terminal. And it can really eat at your faith until faith is gone. And so the first way, the first thing, is ruju' ila Allah. That's the very first thing. First step is heavy, hard dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pull that out of you. Then he says, ta'ala bil khushu'i. Kama ruju'uka ila rabbil kalbi yakunu awla min anas ana'id darbi. He says, so Imam Ghazali gives this example all the time. He says, like, the same way that you would go to the owner of a dog to get their dog under control, Imam Ghazali basically says, like, don't argue and fight shaitan, but rather seek refuge with Allah from shaitan. The same way you would go to the owner of a dog to take care of the dog, and you're not going to argue with the dog. You're going to be like, yo, get your man, get your dog. So the same way Imam Ghazali says, when you have problems with shaitan, don't sit there and argue with shaitan. Go to Rabb with shaitan. Like, get your man, right? But Allah wants you to turn to him for that. So he says, وَمِنْهُ صِدْقُ الْمَرْءِ فِي الْمُجَاهَدَةِ. Next. He says the next stage of the cure is be true in your mujahada. Mujahada means your struggle. Your struggle, your effort, your fighting and striving against that. بِالْجُوءِ لِإِقْتِنَاسِ الْخَيْرِ الْفَائِدَةِ. Okay, before we go into this, I just have to introduce something here. Okay, let me explain something. We'll stop with this, inshallah ta'ala. Okay. So our goal is to bring the nafs back to a balance, an equilibrium. So like, for example, all of the vices of the heart, all of the vices are actually just imbalances. They're imbalances spiritually, meaning you have too much of something and not enough of another thing, right? So you should have shuja'a, courage, but the courage shouldn't be so much that it becomes rage. And you shouldn't have cowardice, lack of courage so much that it becomes cowardice. All right, another one, like bukhl. Bukhl means to be stingy. You shouldn't have so much bukhl that you don't even give zakat, but you shouldn't be so open that you don't even take care of your family. So what it means is all of the vices are actually imbalances. That's the first thing we need to understand. They're imbalances. You've gone too far on one side. Now, what does that mean? The objective is not the opposite. The objective is a balance. The objective is not the opposite. The objective is to come back to middle. Now, with that said, what he's speaking about, and we're going to end with this. What he's speaking about now is how you have to push hard on the nafs in order to train it just to get it back to the middle. Let me say that again. You have to do mujahida on the nafs. You guys know what mujahida is? It's like exert yourself. You have to push yourself. You have to do mujahada. Why? Because you're trying to bring the nafs back. Look, if you were okay, you wouldn't even need to do the mujahada. But because you've gone so far to the right, you have to do mujahada. Why? To bring yourself back to the middle. Are you with me? Okay, so look what he says next. He says, how are you going to do that to the nafs? He says that you're going to, these are the general. He's not speaking about specific diseases. He's speaking in general about cleaning the heart. He says, وَمِنْهُ صِدْقُ الْمَرْءِ فِي الْمُجَاهَدَةِ بِالْجُوءِ لِإِقْتِنَاسِ خَيْرِ الْفَائِدَةِ. Number one way you train the nafs is through hunger, fasting. Fasting is very hard on the nafs. Very hard on the nafs. By limiting its food. وَمَنْءُهَا النَّفْسِ مِنَ اللَّذَّاتِ وَالشَّهَوَاتِ كُلَّمَا أَوْقَاتِ. He's like, and not giving the nafs lazat, pleasure, and what it desires. Now I know this sounds extreme, and I want everyone to please listen closely. The deen of Islam is not about not enjoying life. That's not it. It's about making sure that you're balanced and not you're not going over the limit in something else. And so when he's saying, remember what I said, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَنَالُ مَا تُرِيدُ إِلَّا بِتَرْكِ مَا تَشْتَهِي. You cannot get what you want except by giving up what you desire. Pleasure, there's a low pleasure and a high pleasure. Let's give an example. We all love food, mashallah, right? I love food. It's like, yeah. That's a lower pleasure. We enjoy it, right? There's a higher pleasure of, for example, being healthy, being in shape, being in good shape, physical shape. Now, if you look at both of those, right, you can't have both. You have to actually give up this one to get this one. We love spending money, but you can't be financially stable until you give up this lower one. You feel me? Like, I can give examples all over the place that you'll never get to a higher pleasure in dunya. Forget deen. In dunya, you'll never get to a higher pleasure until you give up a lower pleasure. The more lower pleasures you're able to give up, the more higher pleasures you'll be able to enjoy for a longer time and far better enjoyment. Are you with me? This is what he's talking about here. Man'ul ladhat. When you, for example, control the nafs about what it looks at, for example. What hadith did we talk about the Prophet ﷺ said is the result of the one who lowers their gaze from haram? Anyone remember the hadith? SubhanAllah, Isa's on point. Ahmed, Isa says the hadith is the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever lowers their gaze from what is beautiful and they want to see, the ladha of that, the pleasure, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them in replace of that a sweetness of faith that they can taste in their mouth. A sweetness of faith. The point I'm trying to make through that example is إِنَّكَ لَن تَنَالُ مَا تُرِيدُ إِلَّا بِتَرْكِ مَا تَشْتَهِي. This is a rule of the world. And I can show you 1,000 YouTube videos where it's not even about religion, where people teach you, just give up what you, give this up, you're going to reach this level. Give this up, you're going to reach this level. You know what I'm saying? So the same concept for deen, when you're trying to train the nafs, you have to understand that the nafs also has to be told no. The nafs has to be told no. And once you get the nafs controlled, then you can let the nafs go. I'm going to end with this. We won't read more. We'll start from next week. There's three types of nafs, right? Right? We talked about this. Nafsul ammara, nafsul mutma'inna, and nafsul lawama, right? Three types of nafs. Nafsul ammara always wants to do bad. This nafs, you have to always say no to it until it gets trained. When it becomes nafsul ammara, you let it go. Do what you want to do. It's like once you're used to your diet, you don't have to worry about dieting anymore. Once you're a healthy eater and a healthy person, you can eat whatever you want because you're in balance. You're in equilibrium. You feel me? You guys with me? So this whole concept of, oh, control your nafs, don't give it what it likes. Oh, Islam, Muslims, we don't enjoy life. Oh, that sucks. No, it's about bringing yourself in balance. And once you have that control, then you can let the nafs go because the nafs is already on point. But for many of us, it's not that. We gotta really struggle. We gotta tell the nafs no. And that's the struggle that we have, right? And so I'm just gonna end here. What does he say? He says, so what do? You have to be true in your mujahada. How do you do that? One way is fasting, feeding the nafs less. وَمَنْءُهَا النَّفْسْ مِنَ اللَّذَّةِ. And you don't give the nafs the ladha, right? It wants to sleep for tahajjud. It wants to sleep for fajr. You're like, no, I'm not giving you the pleasure of sleeping that next 5 minutes. Get up. Get up. Right? And you make it get up. Kullama awqat. At all the time. And then the next thing, we'll pick this up from next week, inshallah ta'ala. So I hope this was beneficial, inshallah ta'ala. Again, what Sheikh Ahmad Uban Barahimullah is doing for us is he's taking all of us, right? And he's making us switch our attention, guys, that you focus on your heart, right? As we read more, we're going to get specific. Right now, this is general advice. He's going to get way more specific. Like, if your problem is specifically arrogance, you are an arrogant person, and everybody around you says, you are so arrogant. Oh, my God, right? He's going to specifically talk about your disease and how to cure your disease. Right now, this was just general medicine for a healthy heart. But now we have to speak about specific sicknesses and how to cure those specific sicknesses. Wallahu a'lam. Questions? Yes?
Can you go over the three internal vices?
He didn't start them yet. He didn't even get to them yet. Yep. He said there's three and then he went on a tangent. And we didn't get back to it yet. Good one. Yes? The question is, do you think someone, can you also, Junaid, check if there's online questions too. And then put it on. Remember I showed you? right. Then, what was I? He said, "Do you think it's better if you find your own faults or if someone points them out?" I think it's harder to see your own faults. Just naturally, I can't see what's wrong with me. Looking at you all right now, I can't see. I don't know what's wrong with me, right? I look at the videos later, I was like, oh my God, nobody told me, like, you know what I'm saying? So I think it's far better. The problem is we don't like people telling us what's wrong with us. And if you don't like that, then you must be complacent with living with those faults inside of you. And I had teachers who we humbled ourselves before that could tell us straight up. And very seldom do we have nowadays teachers who we will let tell us straight up what's wrong with us. Which one would stick more with? It's everyone's here different. Everyone's more different. Yeah. There's no one way for sure. That's why it's beautiful. These are four ways to find those faults. The main point is you want to know what they are. Yes, Jasmine.
Yeah, good question.
Yes.
Okay, so like if you do connect with the teacher, sometimes they don't actually know you. Like they might know you like in passing or like as a student.
Yeah.
So like first, how would you connect with the teacher enough for them to actually know your faults?
Got you. This is good. This is beautiful. Excellent question. So listen, when I say teacher in Dean, what I mean is this is a special relationship where I talk to them about my state religiously. So like I have a teacher and I'll say to them, I'm having trouble reading more Quran. I'm having trouble with this. Like I go to a doctor. I don't go to the dermatologist about like my breathing. I talk to the dermatologist about like my dry skin and stuff. Right? So when I go to certain, and subhanAllah, you know what's interesting, Jasmine? I have a teacher who is my dermatologist for my heart, right? But he's also my, I don't know, whatever doctors there are, for other things. But when I go, I make it clear what I'm going for. Do you get it? So like I had a teacher, for example, who's my regular just fiqh teacher, taught me hadith and everything. But for me, that was also my teacher that I would get special advice for me. So that teacher had two roles with me. And sometimes I was sitting in front of that teacher as a student of this, and sometimes I was sitting in front of that teacher as a student of this. I wouldn't mix those two visits up. Do you get what I mean?
How would you be able to point out your faults?
Because you talk to them so much that they build a record of you and they know you, just like a regular doctor. Like right now, I don't have a doctor, right? Like healthcare in Texas sucks, right? So I walk into a doctor and they're like, I've never seen you before, but I can give you a general idea. That's the same way you go to a sheikh and you're like, yeah, I can't wake up for Fajr. They're going to give you that general thing. But if I went to the same doctor every day, like every week, and I'm like, I've been having, well, what are you doing in life? Literally, I'm serious. It's the same thing. He'll be like, well, what are you doing in life? And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. He's like, okay, can you make a schedule for me so I can see what you've been doing? I'm not exaggerating. This is literally the relationship I have with some of my teachers. And then I would write out and be like, oh, I see your problem. You don't have any Quran. I'm like, oh, dang, yeah, you're right. He's like, can you add one, you know, a few pages of Quran? Okay, I add that in. Now, next month I come, 2 weeks later, I'm like, yeah, a lot changed. Da, 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 da. Just like a regular doctor's relationship. Do you understand? The problem is we don't have that today. Everyone's like, I don't know nobody like that. Like, I don't have anyone I could talk to on that level. Well, if you have people around you that you feel you can kind of get that advice from and build that relationship with, then you have to try that. If not, the Mashayikh have given us four other ways to do it, right? But that is how you do it. You build up that thing. Beautiful question. Zalat, sister, and then we'll come on this side. Yes?
One of the things you mentioned was to upgrade the nafs al-amara to a nafs al-awama. You say no to it all the time.
Yes.
How about upgrading a nafs al-awama to a nafs
al-mutma'inna? So that's the point. So the example I gave is, you make yourself diet to the point where eating healthy becomes natural to you. You get what I'm saying? That's nafs al-mutma'inna. Once you get the analogy, like right now we all eat, just imagine we all eat really unhealthily. Like we'll eat like chips and everything, right? Like stuff that has no real caloric like value, right? Then you start to force yourself. You see the bag of chips, you're like, no, that's amara and I'm preventing it. Now you may be like, wow, you live such a restricted life. And I'm like, yeah, just see me in a few months. And I'll see you in a few months. You get it? Now, once you prevent it enough, then you don't even want the chips no more. Then you're literally like, where's the broccoli at? You know what I mean? And like, it tastes good to you. Wallahi, man. May Allah reward my wife. Yo, I used to love juice, right? And anyone who knows trying to get healthy, you can't have all that sugar. It's too much sugar. And so she's like, water tastes good. And I'm like, no, it doesn't. And then after a while, I just start drinking water. And now it's like, wow, water has a taste. And I'll pass by the juice and I'm like, I'm good. So now in that field, my nafs is mutma'inna. I don't have to guard it anymore. But the whole restrictive space that, oh, Sheikh's talking about not letting our nafs do what we want. That's just to train it. After that, you live your life, yo, you, because the nafs is good. But you always on guard a little bit, you know? You get it? Okay. All right, one brother, Junaid, there's a question online.
Yeah. Brother wants to know what are the three types of nafs.
Oh. Amara bisu, one that always wants to do evil. Lawama, the one that does evil and then wants to fix itself. And number three is the nafs that just wants to do good. Like, it wakes you up for tahajjud. You're like, dang, yo, what's going on? You know what I mean? Okay, yes, sister. I didn't say you have to. You don't have to expose your sins. The question is, like, if you had this doctor, are you now becoming like a Catholic because you're sitting there in confession, like, confessing today I did this? No, it shouldn't be that type of relationship. Like, you shouldn't be literally just saying, I did this, I did that, I did this. You're speaking generally about your state and your relationship and what's going on in your heart and mind. It kind of like a psychologist almost, but like, you're talking to them about your state spiritually. You don't got to mention specific sins. And in fact, you should not mention specific sins. Okay, brothers. Yeah, in the back. Yes, brother. You're next.
You said earlier about overlooking someone's sins, but isn't it better sometimes like you guide them and you tell them?
So yeah. The question I talked about, mudahana, when there's certain people you're overlooking the sin to kind of help them. You know what I'm talking about, right? Remember we talked about that, everyone? So he's like, wait, shouldn't you be talking to the person? Like, yeah, I'm gonna get there. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you can't just, like, I just met you, dude. Why are you telling me to change my life? You get what I'm saying? You like, all right, 3 months from now, I'm gonna bring that up. And you're on, like, you got a plan. You get what I'm saying? But you make sure you stay to the plan. Before you know it, you just end up not caring no more. Okay, we're gonna come to this brother and then Faduma. Yes. You want them to know about gossip about them?
If
it's, look, simple rule. If there's any danger that they're in threat of, then this is not ghibah or namima, you gotta tell them, right? That's clear, right? But if it's just something that could just hurt their feelings, then don't tell me, I don't wanna know.
So if it's unimportant, just drop.
Yeah, don't tell me, I don't wanna know. Why you gonna come tell me somebody was backbiting me?
Gotcha.
Like, I don't wanna know that. My life was better without knowing, don't tell me. Okay, if
I
do. Yes.
They want you to tell them what's on their face.
Yeah.
But, you know, for example, what they're looking for you to advise them about perhaps is something that you might be struggling with yourself.
Say that one more time.
So
what you're, oh.
What, so I.
I have a problem with jealousy is what I've been using to, I don't know why it's in my head. And I have a problem with that. How am I going to see it in you?
Not even how am I going to see it in you, but it's like I'm struggling with that, like anger.
Oh, don't, okay. The people, the four mechanisms, the sheikh, the friend, the enemy, and people, that's just to make you aware. They're not going to help you get it out. The only reason we needed those four mechanisms was to become aware of the problems we had. The how to cure it is a whole nother lesson we got to learn. And each of these vices has a specific cure for them. We just needed to be made aware of what's wrong with me. And they're not helping me cure it. They're helping me know what the problems I have. Yes, sister? Maybe this is the last one, inshallah. Yes?
As we see our faults, what if we get into the habit of seeing faults and then how do we balance that? Because some people have a habit of being too hard on themselves.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's really serious. I'm surprised no one brought that up before. Thank you, Jazakallah Khair, for that. The question is that what if you are the type of obsessive compulsive, not clinically obsessive compulsive, but you are the type that obsesses. And now once you start to become aware, you become over concerned about your faults. The only advice I would say in that case is that you do need a confidant. That was a good one, Father. I like that. You do need a confidant who can bring you down too. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's a two-way street. That person is helping me go that way, but also bringing me back this way. Remember I said equilibrium? We want a balance? Like, raja and khawf, for example. If I have no khawf of Allah, and then I start coming back and I get too much khawf, then Jibreel here is going to be like, yo, bro, have hope of Allah. Have hope of Allah. Have hope of Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So they work both ways. They bring you back to equilibrium. So you need people. You can't do this on your own. I think that's it. Okay, last one. Don't blame me. I know brothers be like, dang, yo, halakha's like an hour and 15 minutes. I'm not coming next time. Yeah, this is y'all, yo. Yes.
Inevitably, as Muslims, you know, inevitably you're going to ask, you're going to get asked for advice, and as Muslims, you know, we're supposed to answer to someone else's advice. How do you approach that?
Wait, how do you approach what?
Someone asking for advice for something that you're struggling with yourself.
Oh, nah. Half of knowledge is la adri. Like, half of knowledge is I don't know. The question is, someone asks you advice about a sin that you're struggling with. First of all, I think sometimes it's good to tell someone I'm struggling with that sin too, because it lets them know they're not alone. Like, I'll give you an example from Sira. Nafaqa Hanzala. Hanzala's walking around. He's like, I'm a munafiq. And then Abu Bakr saw him. He's like, why are you saying that? He explained the symptoms. He's like, me too. Let's both go to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know what I'm saying? So the point I'm trying to say is be real. I don't know. Let's go see. I need help too. You know what I'm saying? That's what I would do. Okay, let's stop. Inshallah. Let's make a dua. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbil Alameen, we ask you to guide our hearts, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you to clean our hearts, Ya Allah, from these inner sicknesses, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask you to accept our tawbah, Ya Allah, accept our tawbah. We ask you to guide our ways, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask you, Ya Allah, to cure all of those who are sick, Ya Allah, physically and spiritually, Ya Allah. We ask you, Ya Allah, to have mercy on those from our family members who have passed away. Allahumma have mercy upon them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiur alim. Wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka antas tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu tabarak wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين